trust.
You are now on the inside of what I like to call circle of trust.
You want me to trust you? Don't use big words you don't understand.
News consumers have gone into their corners.
It's time for who do you trust? Hubba, hubba, hubba. Money, money, money. Who do you trust?
What we have to begin to do is look to ourselves.
I've given up why and trusting.
Trust in me.
This is The Takeaway. I'm Tanzina Vega, and trust is on our minds today. Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 election is over, and President Donald Trump and Republicans are claiming victory. Democrats, on the other hand, are pushing for the Justice Department to release the full Mueller report, because as of now, we've only seen the Attorney General's summary. But what about you? Now that the special counsel's investigation has wrapped up, how are you feeling about our country's institutions? Here's what you had to say.
This is Cindy from Eugene, Oregon.
Roberto from Miami.
This is Greg Johnson from Mililani, Hawaii. It's reassuring to know, even for those of us that don't like Trump, that there's still fair, impartial, and honest forms of our government.
I no longer trust the major media outlets, which hyped the collusion myth for 2 years. And now they're unapologetic.
Our institutions only work when we have a balanced system where divisiveness and money don't get to rule.
I'm absolutely convinced that there is no truth in politics.
I lost all my trust in any way of government ever since the Watergate case, which I lived through.
For the first time in my 77 years, I don't have faith in the system.
And that lack of faith has been growing. In 1958, the Pew Research Center found that about 73% of Americans said they could trust the federal government all or most of the time. But in 2017, just 18% said the same. Things don't look much better when it comes to public confidence in the media. Last year, Georgetown University assessed the public's confidence in 20 major institutions, and here's what they found. Democrats ranked the press 7th out of 20. Republicans placed the media dead last. Joining me now to add some context to those numbers is Margaret Sullivan, media columnist at The Washington Post. Welcome back, Margaret.
Thank you very much, Tanzina.
And also with us is Aziz Huck, a law professor at the University of Chicago. Aziz, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks, Tanzina.
So let's start with you, Aziz. Is the completion of the Mueller report an example of our country's institutions working properly? And what I would love if you could explain here is the difference between procedure and politics.
I think the Mueller report is going to be a missed opportunity in terms of rebuilding trust in our institutions. The Mueller report was intended to establish the truth of whether there was Russian interference in the 2016 election, and if so, whether members of the Trump campaign were involved. And we've seen that both of those two things, which were doubted by the president, have been established by the Mueller report. The reason I say it's going to be a missed opportunity is that the partisan response to the investigation's completion has aimed not just at vindicating the president, but at casting doubt upon the motives of those who sought the investigation in the first place. And that, I think, is going to further erode trust in both the media that reported on the Mueller investigation and also in the FBI and the Justice Department, our key law enforcement institutions.
Margaret, I want to bring you in here because yesterday, as the report, or should I say the summary of the report, was being debated online, it felt like a game of telephone. We had the report itself, which no one's actually seen. Then we had a summary of the report. Then that summary was then interpreted by people who were interpreting the interpretation. What do you think of how the major national media outlets covered the investigation and its conclusion?
With the usual flaws and foibles of the news media, I'm afraid, I think that when the summary, when Attorney General Barr's summary of the report was disseminated, it was jumped on. You know, there was so much anticipation. What does the overall Mueller report say? That the summary was probably accepted with too much credulity in the initial hours and resulted in some headlines that the major news media outlets have been backing off from ever since. You know, the idea that President Trump was completely, as he says, you know, completely and totally vindicated and exonerated is actually not the case. The report, even according to Barr, does say that in terms of obstruction of justice, it does not exonerate him. I mean, that's one of the few things that we know for sure because it's a direct quote from the report. So I think that, you know, as always, in the initial moments after a breaking news event, we don't always nail it down and get it right, and then it sometimes takes a little time to sort it out. But meanwhile, it's being interpreted and touted politically, and that's an issue.
And also, one thing that's come up a couple times here, including in your column, is how much the public was interested in this report and in this story. And I tend to think that the bar should not be necessarily us, the media, being told what to report on based on what people find interesting versus news. How do we figure that out? I mean, if they're not interested, are we doing too much?
So, you know, these things don't need to be mutually exclusive. We don't need to say we're either going to cover an important government investigation or we're going to cover affordable housing, you know, health care and the economy. We can actually do both. It is a question of priority. I think you can make a reasonable argument that we, the media, have paid far too much attention to the Mueller investigation. It's been very important and certainly very interesting, but it probably should not have been the huge preoccupation that it has been, to the exclusion of other things.
Aziz, we mentioned at the top of the show a Georgetown University confidence poll. Why do you think our public trust in our political leaders is so low? I mean, we saw, of course, there were partisan splits. Democrats felt held the president a slightly higher esteem than Republicans did. But at the end of the day, what is going on?
Well, just to respond to something that Margaret said first, that remember that the president doubted that there was Russian interference with the election, and the Mueller report established that. That doesn't seem to me a trivial thing. And it goes to this question of how trust has been declining in the United States. I think that there's two processes at work. The first is a distinctly American one in which you have one political party since the 1980s describing the federal government as the source of the problem rather than as a potential solution to important public policy problems. 40 years of that kind of anti-government rhetoric has had deep effects on both sides of the partisan aisle. The second dynamic, which is global rather than distinct to the United States, is that since at least the financial crisis of 2008 to 2009, we've seen an accelerating sense that government doesn't serve the general body of people, but rather protects the interests of economic and political elites. And that sense of disenfranchisement in terms of whether government is protecting you has had an important corrosive influence upon people's identification with government.
And Margaret, I want to just ask you, pivoting a little bit back to the media's role here in how it really impacts our trust in the government and political figures. One thing that is concerning to me is how many people get their news from cable news. Full disclosure, I've worked at CNN in the past. But what's interesting is how more political operatives are being hired by news outlets, blurring the line, I think, between what's actual news and what's political punditry. How do we fix that?
So, you know, one of the things that I always like to say in these discussions is that we need to be a little bit careful when we talk about the media. What on earth does that mean? And what does it mean in the minds of people who are being asked about their trust in the media? Are we talking about cable news? Are we talking about the New York Times, Saturday Night Live, you know, something else or some amalgamation of these things? So we need to be really careful about that. You know, when CNN hired recently Sarah Flores, who had been Jeff Sessions' spokesperson until very recently, and called her a political editor, I objected to that. I mean, I can imagine putting someone like that on the air as a talker, as an opinionator, but when you say they're a political editor who you would imagine would be directing coverage, I think that's a problem. They have changed that since. But, you know, you're right. There's always been a revolving door, and the lines do get blurred. It would be interesting to know what Aziz thinks, but I do think that that's part of what erodes trust.
Aziz, your thoughts on that? And also, do you think that where do we go with it? What impact will this distrust in institutions play going forward?
I don't think that the distrust in institutions is going anywhere, particularly as long as we have one political party that plays the card of governmental distrust as a key move in its rhetorical arsenal. And I fully agree with Margaret that we ought to treat different parts of the media differently. There was a study about 10 years ago in the American Economics Review, which is the country's leading economics review, that showed that being exposed to Fox News shifted people's partisan preference about 2 or 3 points on a 100-point spectrum, right? And it showed this by an interesting methodological device that's not relevant here. That finding, I think, is tremendously important because it demonstrates the capacity of a news network that is organized around partisan principles to shift the understanding of the public in ways that are entirely predictable. And I don't think that you would see any effect of that kind with other forms of media outside of cable news, including, I would add, things like Breitbart or internet-based news sources.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we have a lot of work to do in the media, but one of the most important roles we have is watchdog journalism and accountability journalism. And I think the more we stress that and tell our story to the public, the better off we'll be and the more we can rebuild trust.
Aziz, do you think either party here has any incentive to rebuild public trust in the country's institutions? And sadly, we've got a minute left for that deep question.
The problem is that the Democrats are for procedure and the Republicans are for their party. And it's hard to see how the nation ends up a winner in that contest.
You know, I don't think that that's at the top of anybody's agenda is rebuilding trust. I think that we're really backed into our partisan echo chambers. I think the parties have their priorities, which are political ones. And I don't really see anybody thinking about that very hard.
What about the ads? I'm thinking, for example, CNN came out with an ad campaign, a television ad campaign. These are not cheap. These take a lot of time. Do those, you think, have any impact? Or is this just there's too much skepticism at this point?
I mean, I think it's useful for media organizations to tell their stories, to say, this is what we're about. We're trying to get to the truth. We are fact-based. This is our job. Our job is not to prosecute crimes, but to uncover facts. I think the more we can take people behind the curtain, I don't know if you can do that in an ad campaign with an apple and an orange or whatever it was, but, you know, I think saying that we're about facts is helpful.
Aziz Huck is a law professor at the University of Chicago, and Margaret Sullivan is a media columnist at the Washington Post and the former public editor for the New York Times, and we thank you both so much for your time.
Thanks for having us.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.